from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Hot topic trending.
Number one on what's trending?
That's right. Wrong headsets, I think.
Honest to God, I don't even know if
over.
We switched stars again.
I think that was the Drew Tranquil headset. It got crossed paths
was
there.
Was it sweaty?
No, because it's not as hot today.
Oh, good
Some
point.
Of the other days, yes, the headset has been
kind of gross.
A little nasty after, but we're good, man. We're good. Number one on what's trending, a little update from training camp. We were telling you after we had Drew Tranquil on the show, we learned that Chris Jones, as expected, did not practice today. Also, Clyde Edwards-Helaire out with an illness. Also, on the positive end, saw that Jalen Watson was not wearing the gold non-contact jersey anymore. He was out there running with the ones, along with Joshua Williams and Trent McDuffie. So, really good to see him back in the mix. Derek Nnadi also not on the pup list. He was out there practicing. So a little mixed bag. A couple guys out, but a couple new additions that hadn't been able to practice in a while. All seemingly pretty good news from camp today.
Kadarius Toney also left practice early. Yeah,
but no update from the PR staff after practice. On that.
No. A couple of reporters suggested maybe it wasn't injury related, but Alex and I definitely watched him run down the field and try to stretch that hamstring at the 100%.
Yeah, he was
that
running.
That was what was happening down the field, so we're not exactly sure, but Toney did leave practice a little early.
He was running a deep route in front of us, and after he turned back around, he was moving a little slow, then he stopped, stretched out, then kept running a little bit, and then stretched one more time, and then kind of walked, and that was all we saw, and then next thing you know, he was in the front of a cart, and practice was over for him.
Looked like a staff car more than a medical car,
right.
But who knows. Next up on Watch Training, Royals dropped game one of their series against Boston last night. Brady Singer ends up giving up 4 earned runs in 5 2/3 innings. Angel Zerpa came in to try to strand 2 runners and was unable to do so for Brady Singer. Really heads up. Base running, by the way, to end up at second. That ended up making it 2 runs instead of 1 there. Obviously for Boston, who played a good game last night. Tonight, it'll be Cole Reagans on the mound. Seth Lugo tomorrow. As the Royals try to get game 2 of the series against the Royals. Also, in other Royals news that's not Major League related, I did see that Daniel Lynch was named International League Player of the Month. That's how good Daniel Lynch was in AAA this month. International League Player of the Month. What do you think? You ready to see him in the pen?
Well, no.
it
beats the alternative.
No. I mean, he's pitching well.
That's good. I hope that means in the future, as in next year, that there's something there, as in maybe he's valuable to another team in the offseason if they need to make an acquisition.
Sure.
But unfortunately for him, I'm trying to be like a jerk, but like he's been very good in the minors. We know that. We've seen that. We know that. It's been when he's gotten to the big leagues, man.
I'll take any. Because, like, being bad in the minors means you're just done.
I understand.
This is probably, I wonder if Daniel Lynch will end up being one of those, he'll be better for us than he was for you trade candidates in the offseason. Mm-hmm. Because the Royals' current starting rotation's a bit crowded and will be crowded again next year. So unless you're going to call up Daniel Lynch and say he can be what Michael Wacha was for us last year and we don't need to go target other pitchers or go look for, you know, look to Chandler Champagne or some of the other guys available. Just he was International Player of the Month. It's not that big a deal, but I mean, it's not. It doesn't mean he should just come up and pitch for him now, but it's still good for Daniel Lynch.
Next up on What's Trending, pretty wild news down at Florida International University. In the NIL era and extra revenue being needed, you'll do anything. And that includes giving up naming rights to your stadium, not to a company, but to an individual. So,
Incorrect.
International recording artist Pitbull is purchasing the naming rights to FIU's football stadium. He's expected to pay the school $1.2 million per year next 5 years. They're going to change the name of FIU Stadium to Pitbull Stadium. This is not an Onion article. It's not April Fool's.
Pitbull bought it. Mr. Worldwide.
This is real. The naming does require some finalization, according to Pete Thamel, including board approval. But he is the first known musical artist to have a college stadium bear his name. FIU will open the newly named Pitbull Stadium against Central Michigan on September 7th.
Dude, it could be Taylor Swift Field at Arrowhead Stadium by this account. Hell yes! Are you kidding me? This is a genius move by Pitbull. One, I was never going to mention the endorsement deal for FIU Stadium under any other circumstances ever. And I'm definitely mentioning it if Pitbull is buying it. We should talk about this for a few minutes after What's Trending, because I've got some thoughts. Next up on What's Trending, the latest on Brandon Ayuk. You might have seen the rumors yesterday that the San Francisco 49ers have given him permission to speak to teams about a contract extension. There are multiple reports that suggest they maybe already have the framework of a deal in place with a couple of teams, including the Browns and maybe the Patriots. Other rumors are surrounding and circling pretty hot around the Steelers yesterday. Now those rumors are maybe they don't have the right draft pick compensation in order to do it. But Brandon Ayuk seems significantly more likely to be on the move as he is talking to teams about contracts and the 49ers are entertaining actual trade deals.
I don't get it. I really don't. Like, you're in win-now mode, as we were talking about earlier. If you're San Francisco, you're going to trade away a piece that, if you choose not to trade him, he's not sitting out all year because then he doesn't get the accrued season. He will play for you, and you can still tag and trade him in the offseason. He, if he gets traded now, is going to require a new deal. If he gets traded in the offseason after you tagged him, he's going to require a new deal. I don't get it. I really don't, but it seems like maybe the 49ers just had enough and just don't want to deal with it. We'll see how this all plays out. That is what's trending.
And I had it backwards. Lugo tonight, Reagan's tomorrow.
There you go. It's all good. There you go. Either way, feeling good about tonight.
Either way, you're getting an ace on the staff, you know.
Tonight and tomorrow's starter. We'll get to the Royals in a second. You wanted to talk more about Pitbull?
Yeah, yeah. This is a genius marketing move, and more people should do it. If you could convince a stadium, let's just say you run a small stadium, but you don't have a naming rights deal. Let's say UMKC builds a new arena down by their stadium.
They've tried.
If I don't care if it's a movie that's coming out, I don't care if it's this show, if you can afford it and you could call it Cody and Gold Stadium for a year, worth every, if you called it Deadpool Stadium for a year, if someone will cut you the check, it's actually better to take the comic check than it is the real one, at least in the short term. Get somebody paying for it. I get it, like Acrisure or GEHA. I was going to call it GEHA because Chris Jones did it once. GEHA or any of the other, like, regular companies who you're, like, not totally sure what they do sometimes, but they do something, or crypto.com, whatever. I understand that in the long haul you want 10, 20. Like, in an NFL stadium, it's never going to happen. Small stadiums, you should do the hell out of this. Pitbull's smart for this.
So FIU is the smart one. They are in a world where you're trying to always find more revenue in college athletics and anything, but it's certainly college
athletics.
You got
the revenue and the pub.
You now are getting increased revenue. I don't think they've had, that I know of, naming rights on that stadium. I don't know, before. And
I don't know.
Now people are talking about you, and you're getting the money. So, yeah, it's really smart. But I also think there's a realization, like, that in particular, like, that can only happen at an FIU. Like, Ohio State is not ever having Pitbull sponsor their stadium. Like, there's a difference,
right? But if Taylor
Swift
wanted to sponsor, they wouldn't take her money?
Well, it would be a lot more. It would cost you a lot more money at a big school,
too. Sure, but would she not pay for it?
Sure, but she also doesn't need to do, like,
no, she does not.
I do think also on the end for Pitbull here, not saying if we had the money we wouldn't put Cody and Gold on the name of a stadium, but you have to admit a little bit. If you're like, hey, I'll give you whatever I want, my name on the damn stadium. There is a little bit of a
If you found out that UMKC built a new, like, if I won the lottery and UMKC was building a new arena and we hadn't been talking for a while.
Yes.
And then they announced the new arena next to UMKC and they said it's going to be called Cody Tapp Stadium. You'd be like, unbelievable.
I'll tell you this, Cody. I mean, that is
ludicrous.
The good news I have for you here is if you won the lottery enough to where you'd be willing to write, I think the estimates for the arena that UMKC was wanting to build, I don't know, like, what, $50 million or $100 million max, something like that. My guess is if you wrote a check for $30 million,
put my name on it,
I bet you could get your damn name on there. It would be the Tap Arena. It would be Tap Arena.
Tap Arena.
They wouldn't even call it that. People would call it the Tap. Like, hey, we're playing at the Tap tonight.
That's great. That's a good nickname.
Yes.
It would be.
The Tap is a cool spot.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean,
Tap Arena. I win the lottery, Arena's, and I'm paying for, remember, and I'm paying for the highest college basketball player in the country. I'm getting Zion Williamson, essentially, to come to UMKC. That's my goal.
But we know, I mean, like, this is why I have no problem with Big 12 refs. They're going to have patches on the Big 12 ref uniforms. Who cares? Get your money.
That's
we know the Big 12 conference, someone says,
All State 12.
Someone said, well, they'll do anything for money. Yeah, but there's like Big 12 school was not going to let Pitbull change their stadium name. The conference doesn't care. They're also having a real company change the name. I'm just saying, like, the Pitbull Stadium thing works at an FIU, works at a non-Power 5. I'm just telling you.
Alabama's not going to be Pitbull Stadium.
That's all I'm saying.
Or there's his field, not because.
Sure, but would Alabama take $30 million from a real company? Yeah, I don't think they're taking $20 million from Pitbull. That's all I'm saying. Like, there's
the
a balance.
If the money's equal, wouldn't you rather take it from Pitbull?
I don't know, because people will also call you a joke, though, at the same time. So there's a little bit of a balance there.
I think given the choice, if the money was equal and I could be the All-State 12 with Pitbull 12, Pitbull 12! I'd rather be.
Oh,
is
my gosh.
You know, is it?
That's more embarrassing.
Yes,
is it?
Yes, it is.
That people will take even less seriously. There is a balance
Pitbull's
of, like, take
12?
The money.
No.
But if you're the conference name and if you want to put a sponsor on something, that's different.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I feel like it's this.
But in college athletics, from a university building perspective, like, whether it's Drew Nixon, Cody Tapp, or myself, like, if you're going to write a check for millions of dollars, they'll find something to put my name on. I can
the
promise you.
The CNG Pizza 12.
I promise you. KU right now is trying to get money to be able to finish the other side of the stadium with this renovation. If all of a sudden I wrote a check for $15 million, they'll find something, even a damn hallway to put my name on, okay? A concession stand, a bath, a urinal, please.
I'm not kidding. Carrington the other day was talking about this. Like, he wanted his name on something at his former, at Missouri Western.
Where'd he go? Missouri Southern or no?
Yeah. And I think he wanted like a podcast studio with his name on it. He was going to see if he could donate enough money to get a
probably enough money. There is always a number when it comes to the university buildings. Absolutely can have that.
I'm never going to get anything at UMKC named after me, absent winning the lottery. Let's just establish that now. And I, by the way, as of yesterday, I'll officially be teaching at UMKC.
Enough people enrolled.
Actually, no.
Oh.
But they're like, it's cool. We'll let you do it anyway.
Oh, there you go. That
works.
Enough people enrolled that they're like, close enough. You know, you're in.
That's good. So class starts when?
August 19th. Same day as 6-10 day. Same day as 6-10 day at the K. I got a busy day that day. I got to teach class, and then I got to roll out to Kauffman Stadium. Or as someone said earlier, you could just make Cody do everything. Hot dog race, first pitch, go be Sasquatch, sing the national anthem.
Like, I'll just sit back, have a few beers, and watch the show.
You're just going to kick it and watch the baseball game. I decided I'd offer to do anything. I didn't assume I would get every job. I just offered to do whatever job he needed me to do. That's all. But I teach that first day of class. Class might have to end early, though, so I can go to the coach.
First day of class, you're going to cut it short.
Dude, that's
so
everything.
You can run in a hot dog derby.
The kids will love you.
Yeah, they will.
That's a great first day of class, is it not?
Hey, here's the syllabus.
Hey, we taught you a few things. Here's the syllabus. Here are my expectations.
Now I need to run in the hot dog race.
Here's how the equipment looks a little bit. I got to go. Hot dog race with my name on it. See you kids later. See you next Monday. I did get my class down to 2 days a week to 1 day a week. So
that's a three-hour class now,
two and
isn't
half.
It?
Whew.
That's why you have to make sure that you're the best professor, because if they don't like you
is
for whatever reason, yes, it is, because otherwise they're not showing up for that class, or they're going to have
Not showing up. Attendance matters when class is only 1 day a week. Look, I'm not a big, attendance harp guy, but if the class is 1 day a week, you got to be.
Wait, on that syllabus, you're not putting 10% of their grade as attendance.
It's already on there.
No way.
It's not 10%. Cody.
It's not 10%.
Here's my stance on that.
It's not 10%.
My stance on that is you don't need to have attendance part of the grade, because based on what you're teaching them, ideally, they're not going to be able to be successful in the other parts of the entire course if they don't attend class. But you actually making their grade 5 or 10% attendance is high schoolish. Might as well be in high school. This is a joke. It's college. They're grown adults. They don't want to show up. They have consequences.
So you're saying there should be no attendance policy? First off,
yes.
I think university maybe has an attendance policy. I think I am following the university guidelines.
Right.
There's no need for you to say
now,
not for their grade,
though.
Not percentage of their
correct.
Grade. But I got to make it seem like it's important to be there, because
sure.
Only 1 day a week. We have 16 total classes. Your ass can't get here 16 times?
But
15 times, 14
Cody,
times.
This is where, as the professor...
I'm going to cancel at least one class. I'm asking you to come 13 times.
If the student's paying money, or they're taking a loan out, or the parents are paying whatever it is, that's on them if they don't show up.
You should not.
If you have one student that shows up on this first day, it shouldn't matter to you, Cody, because it doesn't matter.
I think you make it clear, like, hey, to be successful in this course, you know, being here is going to
be
very important. All of that, like, there will be consequences on other aspects of the course, but
your work is going to be worse.
I don't believe, though, that you should be discounting an actual grade due to attendance.
Correct. Do you want me to pull up my syllabus to be sure? Yeah, let me see here. Let me get the syllabus up.
Oh, how long is the syllabus?
Yeah, one page. Oh, one page, please.
It's not one page.
Oh, no.
What's the problem here? What do you think? I got like a huge background in this? You think I know every part of this?
One page syllabus.
This is only my second time teaching
for
in my
semester,
life.
One page.
One semester,
once
one
a week class,
and
one
you're an
page
adjunct
syllabus.
Professor, one page.
All right, hold on. Let me see how many. I think it's two pages.
You're hiding this. Let me.
Hold
let
on.
Me
I had,
see
to,
this
I had to find
here.
It first. I wasn't.
I want
to
see the syllabus here.
I didn't want to lean over and like. I had to find it first.
I think
it's in here. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to... All the normal stuff will be in there.
Someone says, Cody's cutting the first class short and he's canceling the second
class. The second class. I didn't have to cancel the second class because I'm down to just Mondays now. That Wednesday that we're heading to Vegas, I don't have to cancel it. Oh, yeah, that's right. It's not an award anymore.
Someone says you should just give extra credit for perfect attendance. No, I don't think that it shouldn't work that way either.
You don't think that I should be benefiting the kids who show up?
No.
If there's a kid that shows up every other class, but they ace every test and there's no cheating, and they get every project and they do everything well, it shouldn't penalize them for not being in a class.
Drew, let me just establish something real quick here for you. Do you think this class is going to have tests? I am teaching a 300-level journalism class.
Projects.
Whatever the
case may be.
I'll just tell you right now, we are not going to be a test class.
Cody, when they look at that syllabus,
how many pages is this?
So I had to use, like,
this better not be 4 or 5 pages.
Oh, my goodness.
The syllabus is...
What?
Okay, what? So the syllabus is quite long, and I'm going to apologize. I'm going to get it down. I have not posted the syllabus on Canvas yet. I'm going to get it down. They gave me a couple of people's syllabus who like taught the class before and tried to help me.
Uh-huh.
And it included things like, hey, require technology and things that will help you in the course. My current syllabus, and this is not a joke, is 12 pages long.
Dude!
So I got to get it down. I'll get it down.
Cody,
I'm looking at the syllabus, Drew. I got it in front of me.
The first project that's due? Like, what's the midterm?
It's going to be a podcasting-based thing. The final project will be something much more involved as far as podcasting. But I'll be honest with you, Drew. I wasn't approved for the class until yesterday. I got 2 weeks. I'm still working on some of the lessons.
I don't have that all sorted yet. If you know, first day of the class, you say, okay, the midterm is going to be, you have to design a podcast, come up with an idea and pitch it.
Yes.
There's going to be at least one kid in there that says, I can bang this out in one night and I don't need to show up to class. And I got the midterm aced.
There's going to be a lot of editing in class though, because some of them don't know how to edit or to produce good content. Some of that will be listening in class.
Sure.
This is why the class is important.
True. Okay. Here's the attendance part right here real quick.
Did you find it?
Attendance verification. There's a tab that says attendance verification.
I'm pretty sure this is university required.
There will be an attendance grade worth 25 points.
What? Not that much.
We get it. Life happens. So you get one freebie and can still receive the 25 points. If you miss another, the grade will be 24 of 25.
Seems reasonable.
Hmm. So every day you get a
point. I have a late assignment policy, too. Yeah, you got
to
turn in work on time. This is real life.
Students will need to purchase or an external hard drive.
They've got to be able to save their work.
I thought you meant if the class is from 4 to 6 and they show up at 4:15, you're docking their grade.
Now, I'll tell you this. I hate people who are late, and I'm going to let that class know that now. I am bothered by people who cannot be somewhere on time. So
someone says you're
that's a personal one.
I mean, I'm still scrolling, guys. I'm still scrolling. And this syllabus is it's a page for every day of the class.
Yeah, I broke down day by day.
Percentage points earned, grades.
This is some of the class. I've got to rework these. This is only, these are placeholders.
Let me see. Week 2, introduction, recording, and equipment. Week 3, sound gathering. Week 4... how to vocalize your singing abilities. Week six,
how to harmonize
listen
with
to Cody and Gold. Week 7, listen to Vinny Pasquantino's song. Week 8, Bobby Wood Jr.'s song. Week 10 is a song about battered onion rings. This is a weird couple weeks,
unique
man.
Syllabus.
Bunting on the field.
Unique syllabus.
Jeez.
So,
all right, so Cody's class is officially happening. Yeah. He's Professor Tapp.
Congrats, Cody.
In a couple weeks.
Thanks, man. It's going down. One way or the other, I'm going to shape the youth of Kansas City.
12 pages.
Yeah, I got to get that down. I got to get that down to like, one's too short.
I think if we're being fair, like 4 pages max, dude. Like,
yeah, I think I can get
max.
It down to
Yeah, you got to get
that. Because I want to give them a week by week so that they can, like, plan ahead if they want to plan ahead.
I mean, that's like nice. Like talking about. That's nice, you know?
Yeah, but then you get in trouble because if they plan ahead enough and they're smart, they get everything done. And then it's like,
fine.
I don't need to show up to class.
You said the same thing.
Okay.
You just said if that's how they can get through class, then they should be able to operate that way.
Perfect.
I'm not against negotiating. Like, if you can get your job done and it is good, this is not a problem for me. If you do good work, then you don't really need me as an instructor anyway, and you're ready for the real life.
I think
the odds are, based on my teaching experience, that's not usually how it works.
You have 12-page syllabus based off of, I think you need to have each student, I don't know if the university will let you do this, can you have each student sign?
No one's told me anything.
Can you have each student sign a release of, like, what's the phrase that I'm need here? Basically, have them sign a document that anything that happens in class can be shared on the radio. Basically, need to sign
a reverse NDA.
Where everything can be discussed that we discuss on the radio. Whatever that would be, a reverse NDA. You sign away any bit of your ability to not have this discussed.
Someone says I would drop your class if I saw a syllabus that long. At least now you won't have to worry about teaching next semester because they're not going to invite you back. I said I'll get it down.
Someone said, what university? This is at UMKC.
This is at UMKC. Someone says, a podcast class? It's on podcast performance and editing.
And like digital media.
And digital media, yeah. Like how to, really from the basis, like if Alex needed to learn how to start a podcast today, what are the essential things he would need in order to do that and the skills he would need in order
to
do
that? Cody teaching the youth of America. God help us all.
Someone says it would be an easy A. Just compliment him, and then he's just going to...
Some student...
Week, like, oh, I love week, the show, Mr.
Week
Tap.
Week two, they're going to say, I thought your song was so good the other day on the show. Cody's getting automatic A. Automatic A.
All right, I will get the syllabus down. New goal tonight.
Drew and I have to figure out a way, because...
All rights to content produced in class are owned by Cody Tap. Because here's what I want to do that I did with class before that I threatened but didn't do. I think as part of the final for this class that we should, and like this is why you should want to do a good job, we're going to play 3 minutes of your podcast on our show. Each student who puts together.
Show?
Yeah, we're going to play 3 minutes of this podcast, and we're going to let the real people decide if they like your content.
Oh,
we're going to put it out to the real life people of Kansas City. The real fans of 610, and let them decide if you've done a good job on your podcast.
Students will freak out about that.
I've got an idea.
It could be 2 minutes,
goal that I need to
90 seconds,
yeah,
whatever.
I've got an idea.
Oh.
It's got to be post class, though. Post. It's going to be like
over?
It's going to be like in the spring, yeah.
Okay, I think I know where your mind's at.
Someone says
a
new segment called Office Hours, where Cody takes calls from his students or anyone trying to be his students.
That's what I'm going to do. We may not bring back Snitch Line. I might bring back or start something. We can call it Office Hours or whatever.
Office like that, Hours.
Like
that's
that
a good
text
title.
Suggested. And anybody that is a student, air quotes, of Cody's can call in and explain how class
is
going.
This is what I was actually getting toward, yes.
We should have some fun with this.
Let your feelings fly.
You're going to be in a movie. I'm teaching a class. We got a lot going on this show.
Busy times.
Gosh.
That syllabus, man. That's something else.
12 pages?
I was disappointed, Drew, there was no guest speaker section for you or I to talk to the class.
That'll happen. There is a station tour. We'll like make them come
station
to the station.
Station tour?
Yeah, we'll make them do that for a class. The class is at 4, so they can watch Carrington and Dana and Parks in action.
Wow.
Not our show in action. I will maybe assign them a show of ours. I don't know. Let's get those podcast download numbers up. Let's help each other, you know? Get those, juice those numbers up.
Have to watch on the video stream. Have to.
Have to watch on that portion. And same difference. They should know that you need video for your podcast as well. It's important. People like social media clips.
All right, up next, we got a little sidetrack there now that we found out how long the syllabus is for the class Cody's teaching. Let's talk about the Royals, though, and one thing we unfortunately learn about the Boston Red Sox.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Ox yesterday.
Yeah. Hey, what are we doing in the classroom? Who should be my teaching role model, you know, from television or movie?
I have no clue.
Cooper?
I have no clue. All I know is you know these kids
Mr. Finney?
Googling Cody Tapp, and then they're going to see you host a radio show, and who knows, they might be listening right now. Anyway, we'll get to the random.
Oh, God. The kids who enrolled, do you think they've already Googled me?
Do they know that you're the professor?
Yeah, probably.
Well, then, of course they did. Of course they did.
They looked you up on LinkedIn in some way, shape, or form? Yeah.
Yeah, we'll get to the random question of the day here in about 10 minutes. Well, they search your name. One Google search, they find out who you are. Doesn't take much.
What's the first thing that comes up when you search Cody Tapp on Google? Is it good?
Well, your Twitter account.
That's debatable.
Which recently, not great. Then it's your LinkedIn, Instagram, some old photos, very old photos of you, and then Cody and Gold, link to our show.
If you were a student, I would be more concerned about the Royals tweet than the Tyreek Hill one.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Thinking of the Royals, guys, I think we learned a little bit last night, unfortunately, in the loss to the Boston Red Sox. Not only the bullpen issues continue, we can talk about that, but Brady Singer, the Boston Red Sox have his number, man. It's not just that it's Boston. It's the lefties in the lineup. They were able to load up that lineup and get after Brady. I give him a little bit of credit. He didn't get bounced in the third inning or fourth inning or something like that. He still gave them some decent length inning-wise, but he struggled. Right? It was a battle. First inning, right away, he was had to get out of a jam. Second
the Red
inning,
Sox have his number.
They do. Both outings, it's been rough.
Those are his two worst outings of the year, maybe? Because yesterday, it was, I'll say, I thought he battled better in this one. Everything was a fight. He still wrenched back and got some strikeouts when he really needed him. He needed Zerpa to get one big ass out for him. And sometimes they don't. He had stranded 9 of the previous inherited runners. He didn't get that one because sometimes you don't. But he fought through. They have him figured in the sense that it's a problem that his splits against lefties now are so glaring that the Red Sox yesterday rolled out the, I would assume, the leftiest heavy lineup I've ever seen, man. It was just, I was like, they got another lefty? That's what I kept thinking. Wait, how many lefties do they have sitting around on this roster? What, they just got like an endless supply of them? But it was a problem for Singer because he just didn't have his best stuff. But it's also one game. You and I both said tonight's really important now because you don't want to risk being swept on Wednesday. But I also didn't think that, I just thought they had a bad game. And Singer didn't have a good start. And they weren't going to score 12 runs last night, so that wasn't going to weigh they were going to win. And it got away from them in the bullpen again.
It was magnified because it's Boston, and we said it's a huge series. This is a wild card matchup, potentially in the opening round of the playoffs. Like, if not, it's at least maybe one of these teams is going to get in, and the other one's going to finish just outside of a wild card spot. That's why these games are magnified, and everything can change in a heartbeat if they win tonight, and everybody calms back down, and you have a chance to win the series. But tonight is a very important game. You go to tomorrow, and you're just trying to avoid a sweep.
Yeah,
that's a problem. The good news is Lugo tonight. Reagan's tomorrow, so you like what you got on the mound, and hopefully you can get the best of the Boston Red Sox tonight. But yeah, yesterday the bullpen in particular, once again, it just rotate the names. It doesn't really matter. You can put in a hat and draw a name. Each person here recently that has struggled, last night it was Zerpa, has had a stretch where you're like, okay, you know what? Maybe I trust them. Maybe they should be the guy they should put in over this guy. And then you fast forward another week, and it's like, that was rough. And that's where we're at. We've had that with Sam Long. We've had that with Zerpa. Bubich hasn't blown up yet in the bullpen. Urseg hasn't blown up yet in the bullpen. So those are the two guys that I think people are most confident in. Doesn't mean, though, that they're going to be perfect the rest of the way.
Here are the stats on Brady Singer against right-handed hitters. They're hitting 173 against him with a 225 on base percentage, a 249 slug, and a 474 OPS. They're miserable. They're terrible. Horrible. Bad. Awful, you would even say. And he strike out one of every four hitters he faces, essentially, when he's facing a righty. Against lefties, Gold, they are hitting 296 with a 367 on base percentage and an 859 OPS. They're Vinny. They're a top-end baseball player if they're a lefty hitting against him. It is a glare. And this is probably just like the way he's changed his pitches and his slot motion and all these things. You probably cannot solve this problem in the regular season. You're just going to have to hope that when Brady Singer's turn comes up, that there aren't a lot of lefties in the lineup, or that teams don't start or don't have as many lefties as the Red Sox do, because that's what happened last night. He got hit around, and he fought, and he clawed, and he scratched. And yeah, to your point, the next turn of somebody to have a bad bullpen night was on Helzer. But this is a bit frustrating, I'll say, because they bought several bullpen arms. So I'd like to have less of these nights. Less of these nights were bullpen implosions. That's two times in the last four losses that it's just been like that, or two times in the last four games, both losses, where the bullpen just melted down. Can we avoid that? Like 8-2, yeah, maybe we got it to 9-6 or 9-5 later in the game, but too late. Game's too far away then. Can you limit the damage just like Singer did?
You try to fix it. You made the two moves at the deadline, to your point, in Urseg and Hunter Harvey. Urseg, everybody likes what they're seeing so far in a small sample size. Hunter Harvey has been rocky. He got the save on Sunday, though. And then the other, on Saturday, it was multiple pieces. Some that were acquired, some that were already with the organization during the season, and James MacArthur, for example, as we talked about yesterday. So it's been a mix. It's been some of the new guys. It's been some of the existing pieces. You would ideally have hoped for Hunter Harvey to have had a smoother start to his time in Kansas City. I think that's more than fair. Now, tonight, let's say there's a closing opportunity. I think most fans would say the highest leverage, whether it's eighth or ninth inning, they would like to see Urseg tonight, and I think we will. And to me, there really isn't an excuse if there's a
there's no reason to pitch him last night.
It's the eighth inning and there's an extremely high leverage spot, or if it's the ninth inning and it's a 2 or 3 run game. I don't know how he's not the first name. That would not make any sense if it's not tonight. Don't you agree?
Yeah, I agree. I think what's key about this series, and we talked about it before, it was a big series anyway, because it's a team directly below you. Didn't lose any ground on the division. You're the exact same number of games away. You're a game further back of that second wild card spot because the Twins won, but you're not really in a different position than you were yesterday after one loss. But again, if you have Singer, Lugo, and Reagans in back-to-back-to-back nights, you got to win some of those games. And that comes with getting Urseg in those games late. Urseg should be the number one guy in the first highest leverage spot. I'm fine to use pitchers that way, I'll say. If the first highest leverage spot is it's the seventh inning and there's runners on first and second with one out and 2-3 in the four in the order's coming up and you want to get to Urseg, then I'm not going to say.
That's more how they've been using him in a small sample size so far.
I'll be honest, I'm not going to say no. The first highest leverage spot is really not the worst time to use him, because the other night when they used him like that, it worked. They were still in the lead. It requires Bubich to have a good day, or it might require Hunter Harvey to do his job.
And that's where people get nervous.
But Urseg's usage didn't fail, because if you just flip it and Hunter Harvey came in that situation, he gave up the same runs, well, then what did
people
you accomplish?
People don't view it that way, though, because they just focus in on the eighth or ninth or the ninth inning, right?
But that's not the only inning to win a baseball.
I totally agree, but that's when you're watching the game and fans see who blows the game or whatever, they don't focus in on as much who blew the game in the seventh inning as they do who blew it in the ninth inning. That's just the incorrect or not. Like, that's just – that is, I think, how a lot of people just casually – that don't look into some of the finer details of the game. It's the same thing that happened on the Saturday night. Everybody was focused on MacArthur because he was the guy that lost the game, even though there were two blown saves before he walked in the door.
Yeah. Yes. But we don't talk about those, do we?
No, we talk about the guy
because
that blew it
he
last.
He was in the final inning of the last inning of the entire game. That's just not also... Again, this is why the Urseg usage is fine for me right now. They're pitching him in the highest leverage spot. They're not pitching him in the fifth inning if it's a high leverage spot.
Of course not.
They didn't throw him in the game last night because that was a high leverage spot. Game was still firmly close. It was right there. The game was tied. It was 2-2 when Zerpa came in and there were two runners on. You could have made an argument in that moment. That might have been ended up being the highest leverage spot of the entire game. But you don't know that in the fifth. If it's any time after the seventh and it's dangerous, I want him pitching. That's really what it comes down to with Urseg. But yeah, that game was frustrating last night, but not in the way that some of these other losses. That just felt like a regular loss. Singer didn't have it. Bullpen didn't have it. Offense was pretty good, but it was all kind of lame, and then we just move on with our day. Their first two runs were kind of fluky. I don't know what the hell the right fielder was doing on that triple by Michael Garcia. I don't even know what he was attempting to do there. And then that grounder where the pitcher just like air whiffed it on Freddie Fermin's RBI single. So, you know, last night was just kind of those like standard run-of-the-mill losses. That's all.
All right, let's get to it, Drew. Random question of the day.
Random question.
For you, Gold, for you, Drew, over on the text line, 913-586-7610. I got that way off. Over on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, where you can watch the show live on video. We're up in training camp right now. You can see an empty tent behind us.
The Comcast business tent.
There's no one left up at camp except for us right now.
No Matt Araiza? I was going to say.
Hadn't come out for his jog yet.
Drew, we got some friendship bracelets handed us today, though. We had some listeners. Some listeners were kind enough. They made us some.
Mine says, in spags we trust. What does yours say?
Mine says, swag. And KC offense.
Oh, mine says in spags we trust. I think I like my saying better.
I like that. And someone made some KC version Pokemon cards. KC Mon.
Like so, this one says KC Mon. Mm. Uh-huh. And then there's on the backside, it has Creed Humphrey. It shows his special abilities as Sooner Protect and Pancake Toss.
There you go.
This is just like, honestly, the paper quality is pretty good, so very impressive. That's not what my random question is about today. Mine is actually about school, not my school, not teaching. The question I have for you today is, how often when you were a kid did you get a new backpack? My daughter, for two consecutive years, has asked for a new backpack. She has not received it. She has had the exact same backpack since kindergarten. She is entering third grade. It is a high-quality backpack. It's got her name on it. It's held up nicely, so we've been sticking with it. I'm wondering, because I've seen other kids get them pretty frequently, how often other people either get their kids a backpack or you got a new backpack as a kid.
So I don't know the exact answer. I truly remember. My guess is I think like every – it depends on the age. When you're younger, I think you're more likely to get a newer one every year or whatever.
Beat it up
or like, you know, it's, you know, your kindergarten backpack might have a – let's, you know,
might have a Ninja Turtle.
Yeah. So I think it's
but hers
more,
is just red,
right?
So
I
character.
Think when you're younger, it's more likely to rotate quicker. By the time you get to junior high, or you know, my guess is your backpack you had in seventh grade might be the same one you have in ninth grade. Does that make sense?
I think high school one backpack.
Well, that's
you get like a JanSport like everyone else, and then just ninth, tenth, 11th.
I think in high school I had two backpacks in high school. Maybe
I had one. I had the same one I had in high school. I carried all the way through college.
Yeah,
same backpack. It was blue. It was a JanSport. It was. I mean, that was it. That was the end of backpacks.
At least every 2 years, though, Cody. I don't think you should be making her wait 5 years to get another backpack.
Okay, so the first two texts in are every backpack every 2 years, every year you cheapskate, every 2 to 3 years seems to be, again, I don't think I'm a cheapskate on this.
I think every two or
why
three years.
Why does she need a new backpack every year or a new lunchbox every year? That's crazy.
Maybe not every year, but I think after 2 years, it's just time.
But it's in good shape. Is it time just because she wants a new one? She might just be saying that. Kids say they want things all the time, and then you got to give them time to really think about it. They got to say it a
couple times.
Gets
dirty too, man.
I wash it.
It's constantly on the floor. It's at the school.
I wash the backpack in the washer multiple times a year.
I don't think I ever wash my backpack ever.
Well, I've wiped it down, but not washed it.
No, I've put it in the washing machine.
Oh, I've wiped it down with like a Clorox wipe, but I've never washed it in the washing machine before. I would say every 3 to 5 years is what we got. I agree that I think when I was younger, I wanted maybe a different one, but we always had just like a regular like JanSport backpack that lasted forever. So
yeah, everybody had
it never
a
was a big deal.
At one
yeah.
point in time.
Somebody said we did one for K through 2 and then another one for 3rd through 5th grade. So that would be right around my daughter now.
Mm.
Someone says 4 kids here. My kids get a new one every year because they managed to absolutely destroy them. My oldest in high school carries too many damn books around, so they get a new one.
Someone says, if you get
a new backpack every year, life is handed to you on a silver
platter. Okay.
If it had a massive rip in it, I would get it. It's a perfectly good shape backpack.
I swear, though, that's good. I swear, though, if hers had a rip, you'd be like, oh, I just sewed it back together, and it was good to go.
Yeah.
I feel like that's Cody.
That's what I would do with my backpack.
Okay.
For sure.
And that's great. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm honestly confused by the fact you said you wash your daughter's backpack.
What's funny is, like, I don't even think, I put it in the washing
machine.
I've never heard of that either.
They hold up fine.
I've never heard of washing the backpack. They get beat up, they get dirty, and then after a year or two, and it's time to get another one. I've never heard of washing
Someone said
the
it's
backpack.
Diabolical that you wash your backpack.
You could throw yours in the wash tomorrow.
Never would
I think
of washing my backpack.
It's just like clothes. What's the difference?
Eventually it's going to get worn out enough, and I'm going to get a new one. I've had this for...
This is massive consumerism.
I've had this for... What the hell was that? I don't know. Something just fell out. That was for 2 years.
Does that seem like a problem? This looks like it screwed something in.
I know. That's what I'm trying to figure out. It's not from the backpack. It's from, like, the headset or something. Anyway.
Okay.
Yeah.
Someone texted in from the 816. The real answer is when it's needed. I think that is... And now it's definitely
wear, affordability. Now at least it's different.
Well, again, up until I got the backpack because of the points donated from you guys, I was walking around with a backpack that one zipper just did. I did not open up that pocket because it was broke.
And that now you got your new Odyssey backpack. Thanks to all those points.
I know. Yeah, it's great.
Living your best life now. Clean new Odyssey life. Someone says Cody's daughter be going to college with a My Little Pony backpack. Again, hers is just red. It's not cute. Here's the thing. I think if I get into the character thing, then I am into
yes,
it.
Yes, absolutely.
I think it is better to buy one that, let's just say, it's like galaxy theme, something that's like a little safer in the color scheme.
You are really fixated on the washing.
Dear,
I can't believe it's that
boxes.
Big of a deal.
What do you say, Drew?
Do your kids have lunch boxes, or do they?
Yeah, what do you say?
My kids have lunch boxes.
Okay, so they have lunch boxes.
Not the soft, like, fabric ones.
Yeah,
that...
they have, like, a zipper lunch
yeah,
box.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Okay, so they have lunch boxes and backpacks, where we,
yes,
growing up, always did, like, the sack lunch. So every now,
yeah,
like,
sure,
my parents would be more willing to.
We were poor.
Sure,
we were
you have a backpack.
Lunch, so I ate
yeah,
lunch at school.
They'd
I
be willing to give me the backpack more, I think, because I didn't have a lunch box. Where if you got the lunch box and the backpack and you're wanting the new backpack, no, it's not going
to fly. Someone said, if you wash your suitcases, do you wash your golf bags? Do you wash?
I mean,
those?
I've cleaned the golf bag. That would fit in my washing machine.
You take it to the dry cleaner.
So
steam clean the golf bag.
That just straight up wouldn't fit in a washing machine. So I've never done that. Neither would my suitcase.
Golf
so
bag.
I guess
you
I've
wipe
never
down,
done that.
All right, we need a bunch of $6.10 heroes for a new backpack.
For Ruby.
She doesn't. I don't
I'm
need your
joking.
$6.10.
I'm joking.
I like her backpack. It's nice. She just wants a new one because you know.
She wants a new one.
Sometimes you got to teach kids that they can't just have things because they're like, oh, but my friends have sometimes. That's not the way life works sometimes.
I think that's true, but I think that's a very good lesson, and you're probably 1,000% correct. I wonder, does it differ if it's related to school and it's a backpack and it's for learning, et cetera? But I don't know. I'm not the parent, so I don't know. I'm just speaking from not having a children experience, but that's how I can
I might
see
give
it being
you
a little bit different.
I don't know if this is a heads up. This might be something that Ruby wouldn't want me to say, Cody, but as a little kid, you try to, like, the backpack's not isn't durable enough to hold all the books that I need now because I need more books.
You don't have books anymore, dude. It's all just on one iPad.
Yeah, they don't have.
Oh, yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's right. I'm sorry.
Life's different. They don't carry as much stuff.
I did not. I was not in that era.
Backpack doesn't have anything in it.
It has a lunchbox and, you know, like headphones because I got to carry those around.
I was not
by
in
the way,
that era.
It just reminded me. If you actually do need a backpack for your kid, you know, my friends over at Gann Asphalt, they're sponsoring, along with the Elks Lodge, who we sponsored the whole one, they're sponsoring a back-to-school carnival. This Saturday, August 10th, at the Elks Lodge 26. There you go. It says the first 30% participants receive a free backpack.
Good.
With school supplies.
That's awesome.
So that's 10 a.m. If you want to see it, I retweeted it on my Twitter.
That's
page
a way better fundraiser night than the text line suggested, which is a new fundraiser called Cody's Kids, where they give you a backpack every 6 years.
Mm.
Every 6 years.
Jeez.
I thought maybe we could get through. I thought it could be like one per, like, great, like one per like school, right? One for elementary school, one for middle school, one for high school.
I think in high school
we'll
you can get by with
that's
the one.
Fair,
I think,
yeah.
I think in high school that's
because you're taking
fair
care of your stuff better. That's
yeah,
part of it, probably.
Yeah.
Someone says you need a new backpack. You're a cheap ass dad. Come on, man. I still don't think washing backpacks is that
man
crazy.
I really hadn't heard of that. I mean, it makes sense, I guess. I hadn't
heard of it either. It sounds
yeah
like something you that
no
you're
throwing your tennis shoes in the wash.
No, it sounds like something that you didn't know how it would work, and you tried it, and it worked out well, and now you just do it.
No, I mean, it's just like any other piece of clothing, or like, you know, like yeah, I've got those packing cubes. I throw those in the wash too. Like I keep those things clean.
Yeah.
You don't just wipe it down with like a Clorox wipe.
No.
That would be enough, I think.
I don't think so. I don't think that's... Maybe this is why... You know what? Maybe this is why you all are buying a new backpack every year and why Ruby still looks in pristine condition going into third grade. She's been having it for 3 years.
I've had this backpack for 2.5 or 3 years.
Someone said, sorry, kid. Dad,
see, it's starting
dad
to get a little rip on the bottom. Going to have to get a new one in another year.
Someone said, sorry, kid. Dad needs a new gaming console. Cody wants to play the new video game. That's why.
I only played one single game two games, I guess, of NCAA college football.
I played last night. Some guy pissed me off.
Why?
I won earlier. I was playing out. It was last night. Some guy. It was Texas again. Texas is the problem. It's not a good matchup for Kansas.
No.
Guy was shouting through my television because he had his headset on. I don't have a headset. I don't use it.
What was he yelling at you?
Just shouting, calling me boy the whole time. It was not
calling
fun.
Calling you boy?
That's why
yes.
You need to just mute it. You
was
got
not
to
good.
Just mute the TV.
It was not good. Drove me crazy.
Can't you just mute those people?
I think so.
If you won, if you did win the game, you should have hopped on the set.
I've done that before, Drew.
Don't kid yourself.
Don't worry, Drew. If the person was talking bleep the entire game and I don't have my and I can hear him through my TV driving me crazy, at the end,
if
when it's over, I absolutely hopped the headset on and I'll say something.
It's kind of weird if nobody's reciprocating the trash talk. Why would you keep doing it? That doesn't make any sense to me. If you're not talking back, why would you keep calling you boy the entire time?
That's a great question.
It gets
a
great
question. If they're not responding, then just move on.
I agree, but they just like leaving their headset on, I guess. I don't know.
It gets them excited. I don't know.
Okay.
I saw Drew was playing last night.
Yeah, I got a couple of my friends were in like an online dynasty, and I was struggling a little bit against Kennesaw State.
Yeah, we know. You can't score. We saw the tournament. 0 points.
I got down to the red zone 2 times in a row and threw a pick both times. It's like, dude, this is this game, man. And then, so you're playing against an FCS team, and the dude drills a 54-yard field goal, and you're thinking, what the hell is going on here? No way. But it's the beauty of college football. It's the people are bashing the game for how chaotic and crazy it is when little do they know. If you were to watch college football on a passionate enough basis, you would see one game that is just absolutely you-know-what crazy, and all kinds of stuff happens.
TextLine is now saying I probably save paper plates. Let me make this clear. I don't own paper plates. I just use
what?
Regular
Why?
Plates.
I don't have paper
plates. I paper plates if, like, we have a party. If there are, like, 40 people over, I use paper plates.
Oh, my wife and I just went to the store, and I bagged 80
incredibly wasteful. Just use a real plate. I just use real plates.
No, I'm with you.
My kids use real plates.
I'm with you.
Paper plates for everyday use? That's crazy. That's crazy. That's nonsense.
Yeah, you do the paper or plastic plates when you have a group of people over and you don't want to have dishes for the big part. You know,
you don't want to like have a kitchen full of dishes for everyone to hang out and enjoy each other's company. Different. Use paper plates for every meal, Drew?
Not every meal. We have some glassware that we use. Like if we make something and it's nicer, we'll use the glassware for that.
$6.10 for your kitchen.
No. I have plates. I have plates and I have silverware and I have bowls. But my wife in particular doesn't like to do the dishes. She likes to throw stuff in the dishwasher. I don't mind doing dishes. She just likes the paper plates because it's quick, easy, simple. Throw everything away. It's done.
I mean, I get the convenience.
Plastic silverware.
This is like adulthood. I don't know. Like, it's just like part of the inconvenience of life. I hope you have those wicker things my grandma used to have to make the paper plate strong. You know, like click it inside so it's like a sturdy paper plate holder.
I do not have those, but we used to have them growing up.
What?
Yes.
Dude, they're like made
of wood.
Fantastic. They like it like
very
so you
good.
Got the strength of a regular plate, but you can still throw your paper plate away at the end, you know?
You could plop as much spaghetti on there as you want to, and then the plate's not gonna crumble or fall over. Yeah.
Huh. Okay. I see what those are.
Those are great.
Huh. Yeah, never seen that.
Someone says add a syllabus line to have a donation to Cody's kids for his future. Boy. All right. That's it.
We got down a rabbit hole.
Glad we had this talk today. Yeah,
we're
important.
Learning some new things about each other today.
It's a very important
Drew's only
show.
Using paper plates. Gold's going to get a new backpack soon. I'm never getting my kid a new backpack.
Ever.
Under any
All right. Our training camp coverage is presented by Technology Group Solutions, the official IT provider of your Kansas City Chiefs. Up next, though, let's get back into talking about the deal that was done yesterday for Harrison Butker. Who's next, and does this change anything for the outlook on either deal? We'll do that live from St. Joe here on Cody and Gold.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.